You're listening to Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live and our YouTube channel as we talk East Carolina baseball. ECU play-by-play voice Corey Glure and others will join us as we look back at the previous week and take a look at what's ahead. Now, let's talk Pirate baseball.
Welcome in to Extra Innings right here, a special edition, the Super Regional edition, Game 1. Pirates go down to Hawkins Field 2-0 against the Vanderbilt Commodores and the Vandy Boys. Nothing to be ashamed of. Huge day, right, Bubba, for the Pirates, but it came up a little bit short.
Yeah, obviously East Carolina left everything on the field, but this game was everything I thought it would be, and then some, you know, in terms of the pitching performances by Rocker and Williams. Obviously a lot of folks knew about both of those guys around the country, obviously more Rocker. But if anybody did not know about Gavin Williams before today, they certainly see that, you know, why he's so highly regarded. And, you know, Vandy head coach Tim Corbin had nothing but glowing remarks about both of them in the post game.
No doubt about it, Bubba. Very excited to have our first guest. We've got a huge show lined up. I always say that, but today is big, and very happy to have this guy on, right?
Yeah, I'm very appreciative. The first of many guests over the next hour or so, Robbie Weinstein of Vandy 24/7. Robbie, how are you?
I'm good, guys. That was definitely a very fun game to cover. I think pretty memorable. Tim Corbin said after the game, he kind of alluded to it, that he thinks a lot of people who were there at that game are going to look back, you know, 5 years from now when Gavin Williams and Kumar Rocker are, you know, in the majors and, you know, think like, oh, remember that game where those guys really kind of battled it out. It just really great baseball. And I kind of came away from that not understanding how ESPN, I think, has Williams ranked like in the 60s. I mean, he looked like a first rounder to me.
No question. And obviously Robbie, he could have gone last year, maybe late, but he came back for this stage, for this very moment. I mean, he's a competitor, and I'm happy for him because someone that's followed him since he committed to East Carolina and many other Pirate fans and Pirate Nation, it's a guy that unfortunately has had a little bit of the injury bug, and he wanted to come back and get his shot. And I think I know he's 10-1, but it's a disappointing game for him because he pitched his mind out. He pitched so great, but credit to Rocker and obviously the pitching staff, because I think it was just a few hits for East Carolina, a team that's batting 300 and has a lot of runs coming in today. But you have to tip your hat to Vandy today for not allowing a run against the Pirates.
Yeah, I think, you know, Vanderbilt's roster, you know, they have their fair share of holes, you know, fewer than most teams, but they are sort of built, I think, like fans who were maybe nervous about the postseason, they were more nervous about regionals than supers, because you know, when you're in a super regional, all you have to do is win Rocker start and win Leiter start and you win, whereas in regionals they have to go beyond those two guys, and then, you know, if they advance to Omaha, we don't know yet, in the, you know, sort of the first portion of that, of the College World Series, you know, you need a third starter. And so you know, I think ECU, I was impressed by them today. I think everyone knows that they're a very high quality team. And yeah, I just kind of think they ran into a buzzsaw today, particularly with it being Rocker's last start at home in his career. I kind of foresaw something like this coming. And, you know, Williams certainly did his best. He might be the best pitcher that Vanderbilt has faced this season. Patrick Wicklander from Arkansas and Doug Nikhazy from Ole Miss would also be up there. But they had lots of trouble with him, and it was just kind of, you know, the ball bounced their way once or twice.
No question about it. And looking at as far as Leiter tomorrow, one question I had for you, when you hear about if there's somehow the Pirates can win tomorrow, you even heard the ESPN announcers have talked about it for Game 3. I know that our announcers, too, on the radio with Corey Glure, the play-by-play voice, and, of course, our wonderful sports information director, I think the world of Malcolm Gray, who does an excellent job for the media for many years, a local guy, and then obviously been a Pirate, went to East Carolina. He's followed the program for many, many years as well. But as far as the third pitcher I know there's been a lot of talk about that. Who would you start if there is a game three? I hear about Leiter, obviously, with game two. But if there's a third pick, a game three, who would you start?
Yeah, that'll be an interesting decision. I don't know who I would start. Either it's going to come down to Patrick Riley or Christian Little. They're both freshmen. And Riley, I think, is more polished, probably has a longer track record. But his issue is that his first innings are always a disaster, pretty much. I think he allowed 3 runs in the first inning against Georgia Tech in his last outing. And, you know, he always pretty much, if he can get out of the first inning, he settles down really quickly. He has a great fastball with a really high spin rate that gets up to 95 to 97. But he just, you know, I mean, if it got to that point, you know, they would have to have a quick hook with him, and ECU would probably hit him right away. Christian Little would be the other option. He's only 17 years old. So he was like a mid-year enrollee. If he hadn't come to school, he would have been probably a top 10 pick in the draft this year, or, you know, 3 years from now or 2 years from now. I think he's eligible for 2023. You know, he's considered a top prospect. He's pitched really well down the stretch. He played really well against Ole Miss at the SEC tournament. He had a pretty good start at Louisville where they left him in the game too long and he got hit late. So it would come down to those guys. I'm sort of not sure. Maybe I would lean Riley if I were making the decision because he's got more experience pitching against top teams, whereas Little was the midweek starter. And so most of the season he's been going against, you know, much, much weaker competition than this.
Yeah, going back to that Vandy lineup, I mean, you look at Bradfield Jr. and then Vaz. I mean, I tell you what, and I couldn't believe it when I heard that Vaz had, you know, had only started just a handful of games, and he's really emerged. I think maybe his first start came in the regional. Is that correct?
He may have started like a midweek game or something like that. But yeah, he's like a JUCO transfer, and he was kind of set to battle it out for the starting second base job coming into the season. He did not win that job. He basically didn't play early in the season, even though, you know, I think that says more about Vandy's infield depth probably than about him.
Winning the Lego guy.
Yeah, he's been a pleasant surprise, I would say. And, you know, I think defensively he really adds a lot in left field because they don't have any other good defensive left fielders. But, He was pretty big today. Him and CJ Rodriguez, the catcher, who, you know, these are two guys who are not among Vandy's most proven hitters, but you know, maybe they were due. I don't know.
Yeah, when we had talked to Kevin Ingram, obviously the radio play-by-play voice, yeah, and the guy who's been around the program for years, one of the things he pointed out, he said, "I know his numbers don't jump off the page, you know, batting 242." Or maybe it's more like 250 or 60. But anyway, CJ Rodriguez's numbers don't jump off the page at you. But he certainly came up big today. And it's one of those situations where the batting average doesn't tell the story.
Right. Yeah, that would have been – I completely agree with Kevin. I think his batting average is misleading. He's one of the better contact hitters on the team. And he's been – you know, he has been behind the plate so often that I think he's kind of banged up. And I think that affects him at the plate a little bit. But I mean, it's almost like his batting average got down to 250, and I almost expect him to start hitting more because I think he's more of a 270, 280 hitter at least, and I feel like it's going to come back up there at some point. But I think we also saw that he, you know, probably the best aspect of his game is he's a really good pitch framer and really good defensive catcher in terms of throwing guys out. And who tried to steal the base? Was it Norby?
Yeah, Connor Norby. When he let off the fourth of that walk, and then he got caught stealing.
That was a big play in the game, and I think I saw somebody tweet this, and I think it was accurate that, you know, it had rained earlier, and the turf can get slick. And so if you are not used to – I don't know if ECU has a turf field or not, but – no. Okay, so, yeah, if you're not used to playing on turf field, you know, you can overslide basically, especially when it's wet. And that probably played a role there.
Yeah, Coach Godwin said in post game that he didn't get a good jump. I was wondering because of the very fact that, you know, we knew coming into this game, it's not like that East Carolina fans thought that we were going to score a whole bunch of runs. Every single base runner, every single – and it's not that East Carolina players or coaches took it for granted either. They were trying to make something happen. He didn't get a good jump. Instead of going back to first, he tries to get a second. And every single, like I was telling the fans, people that I know, if you make a mistake, Vandy's going to make you pay for it. And, you know, it's like that in any game, but especially when you're looking at a number four seed in the country and you're playing on, it's a huge advantage to have be on Hawkins Field, your home field, you have your home crowd. You need to make every single, if you're a away team, any game, but especially on a super regional stage, you need to make every kind of advantage you can. And East Carolina couldn't do it today.
Yeah, I think somebody asked a good question in the post game about whether Cliff Godwin thought that maybe they just kind of needed a home run because they weren't able to string hits together. And, you know, the way he answered it was that he felt like they needed a double into the gap and score someone from first, which is fair. But, you know, I think looking ahead to tomorrow, Jack Leiter gives up a lot of home runs. I think, you know, I can't remember. I mean, he's given up only two doubles all year, no triples, and like 15 home runs. So, as good as he has been this season, you can, like, if you're going to hit him, it's going to, you know, the ball's going to go really far and you can hit it in the stands. And so that's, you know, I think if ECU is going to get that game tomorrow, I think that's what they need to do. Not that you necessarily focus on hitting home runs, but that would be what I think that's how they're going to score tomorrow if they are going to do that.
Yeah, in a pitcher's duel like that, everything is magnified. You know, there were a couple of pass balls in East Carolina, at least one of them, if not both, were able to work their way around. And, you know, and Seth Goodell played a tremendous game behind the plate, and, you know, blocking it up on some breaking balls in the dirt, and did a solid job as he has all season. But, you know, going back to the speed in that Vandy lineup, particularly Bradfield Jr., you know, he got on. And the play at the plate that was reviewed, obviously a huge play in the game that made it a two-run game, takes it where one swing can't just tie it. And, you know, as soon as I saw the replay, he was undoubtedly safe.
Yeah, it was such a close play. I thought live, I thought he got his hand in there, and that did turn out to be the case. I certainly understand if you're ECU in that situation, you know, you wonder if, or maybe you're frustrated if you don't feel like it was completely indisputable. But yeah, I think he was probably safe. That was a huge play because Vandy, it's really not just Leiter. It's basically everybody except for Rocker has given up quite a few home runs this season. I think they're maybe 12th in the SEC in terms of home runs allowed. They really give up a lot. And so if you go into that ninth inning up 1-0 over ECU, I don't think anybody in that crowd or any Vanderbilt fans watching at home would have felt comfortable, especially with, I think, 3-4-5 in the lineup coming up for ECU in the ninth. So that was, I mean, that was a huge play in the game for sure, because when you're up 2-0, that's really completely different in that Vandy does, you know, Vandy can give up a solo homer at any point, and so that was kind of the game right there.
No question about it. And Robbie, with looking ahead to tomorrow, with how is the weather going to be? Have you heard there for? I know it's a noon start again on ESPN2 tomorrow. Obviously, that's I know for you guys, that's some of the Vandy fans were upset of getting that time slot. How did you feel about the time slot being 11 a.m. Central for not only Friday but Saturday?
I didn't. I mean, I'll say this: I wasn't like a huge fan of the 11 a.m. start, but it's better than what happened on Sunday against Georgia Tech, where the game ended at 1:10 a.m. That's for sure.
Yeah, we were right there with you in the Greenville Regional because of a 2.5 hour rain delay. That game started at about 8:35, and it was a 4+ hour ball game at that. So it finished up right there about 1 a.m.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be sunny tomorrow. It will be pretty hot, but no rain in the forecast, so that's good.
Good. Hey, we love that. We're not used to that when it comes to playoff baseball in Greenville for sure. But hey, Robbie, before we let you go, how can fans find your site? And appreciate your time here on the show, and certainly appreciate your work on 24/7 Sports.
Yeah, Vandy247.com is how you can find it. I'll have coverage throughout Supers, and definitely, you know, I'm sure you guys are familiar with Stephen Igo, if that's his name. Yeah, and yeah. Hoist the Colors. He does great work over there, so check that out as well.
Big fan and a friend of the show. Appreciate him, and appreciate you too. Thank you so much, bud.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
No doubt about it. Our continuing coverage of the Nashville Super Regional. Very happy, very honored to have our a former Pirate, and certainly, Bubba, we love this guy too.
Absolutely. Welcome into the show, Eric Backich. And Coach, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
No doubt. You were here 2 years ago, obviously, with Super Regionals, and then on to a huge Omaha. My goodness. How does it feel to watch Cliff now? And you know, of course, Coach Corbin very well. I know, is that hard to see two friends going at it here in 21?
No, it's great. You know, it's great to see your friends and the people you care about have so much success. And it's no surprise that CG is leading these Pirates to the brink of Omaha. And just, obviously Coach Corbin's success, he's the Nick Saban of college baseball. So it'd be great to see the Pirates as a Pirate alum and a guy who still bleeds purple and gold to see the Pirates get to Omaha.
What was your thoughts on?
Go ahead, Dave.
I'm sorry, I just had a quick question. Obviously, we think a lot of Coach Godwin. We think a lot of the team, and with Gavin Williams play out of his mind today. I just want to get your thoughts as not only a former Pirate, but obviously someone that knows the game a lot better than I ever will know. What did you think about Gavin Williams' start today?
Well, you knew it was going to be a low-scoring affair with two first-rounders going against each other, and that's it. The game lived up to its billing. I mean, those are going to be two guys that are going to go in the first round, two premium-level college prospects, as good of a pitching matchup as you could ask for. And, you know, to see, the difference in the game just came down to a bunt and then a hit with a double, and then they score on a ground ball. I mean, you know, and that was all that Kumar Rocker needed. That guy's tough to face. It doesn't matter. And he has another gear and another level in the postseason. And it's tough to game plan against that guy when, you know, you go in sitting on one pitch and then he's throwing all of his pitches for strikes. And it's tough sledding to face a guy like Gavin as well, who's sitting in the upper 90s and throwing strikes with multiple pitches, multiple breaking balls. So it was going to come down to a play, a pitch, and I thought both teams competed really, really well. And, Vanderbilt just got more guys to third base to try to, to get the scoring going. But I would never, ever, ever put it past the Pirates to score tomorrow with a good left-hander going. So I guess we'll see what happens. But I think the Pirates will bounce back.
Hey, Coach, one of the things that Ben McDonald, a former LSU star, and obviously went on to a nice career in the professional ranks as well. But, Ben, he was talking during the game just as far as how those guys, especially Gavin Williams, held his velocity. Rocker threw 117 pitches. Gavin, I want to say, is 111. Gavin, I think his 100th pitch was 97 miles an hour.
Yeah, he's a specimen. I mean, Coach Corbin talked about that. I heard about him talking about that. As of all the SEC pitchers that they faced this year, they did not see somebody that held their velocity deep into the games as much as Gavin did. So, that's just a premium level athlete right there. That's a competitor, guy who's got a chance to pitch a long time. Make a career playing this game, and Kumar's the same thing. I mean, the competitive fibers of those two kids are just special. I mean, what all of us as college baseball enthusiasts and college baseball fans witnessed just an incredible pitching duel today. Two guys that may be matched up again in the big leagues, because that's what it looks like. It looked like two big leaguers throwing against each other.
Coach, I wanted to ask you if you were CG tomorrow. I mean, how do you beat a guy like Jack Leiter? I know it's not easy, but is there anything that you're looking for? I know you guys are like two of the best when it comes to scouting and watching a lot of video and film, if you will. How do you beat a guy like that?
Well, CG will have an awesome game plan. I mean, as coaches, you're always trying to reduce a guy's arsenal. If he's got four pitches, you try to reduce him to two pitches or one pitch and just be on that pitch. And when you get it, try not to miss it, And and the guys will be locked in. And CG, you know, he's not going to save anything. He's not going to save any pitchers. He's not going to save any of his plays. He's going to do whatever he has to do to even up this thing. And if he can do that, then, anything can happen in game three. And, the Pirates are an incredible team. They certainly look to be one of the top eight teams in the country. Just watching them out there compete and paying attention to what the Pirates do every game, every year. So CG will have the boys ready. There's no doubt about that. They will not be intimidated one bit. They're going to face a hell of a pitcher tomorrow. There's no question. But they'll be up for the challenge. I know they will.
No question about that. As far as looking at the postseason with the Pirates, I know you guys with Coach LeClair, how special of a bond is it to have you and you think about Brian Ward and Nick, obviously on your staff, but having that 23 is so cool when I see you guys on television and or even if on my phone on ESPN trying to follow you guys. But Coach LeClair, I know he would be so proud of you guys.
Yeah, and it was the privilege and honor of our lives to wear the Pirate uniform. And, we broke down on Omaha. Cliff and I talked about this the other day. Every weight room session, every training session, every practice, the team would huddle up and say Omaha. And that's what Omaha was, a standard of effort that you gave. It was the way you competed. It was the way you went about it. Like CG mentioned the other day, it's just a way of life as much as it is a destination for the College World Series. And that belief in that's what Coach LeClair instilled in all of his players. And that's what we are charged to do wearing number 23 is to inspire all these guys that we get to coach, not only to give that same type of effort and that level of competitiveness, but create the same type of experience for these guys that we had. And nobody's doing a better job of that than Cliff Godwin. And that's kind of the one driving factor that we're all doing and it to keep, make sure we're carrying the torch for Coach LeClair. As much as it is about getting to Omaha, it's just about creating that experience that all these players will look back and say, that was absolutely priceless. I wouldn't change my experience for all the money in the world. And, watching all these teams compete, whether it's UCLA or East Carolina or the Michigan Wolverines, I think, that's one thing Coach LeClair would be proud of the way we're leading our teams, is the way he would have wanted us to.
Coach, talk about your relationship with Coach Corbin at Vanderbilt. Obviously, that program, the diehard college baseball fan knows that program had very little success, only three regionals prior to Coach Corbin's arrival, but has been to 16, I guess, I think 16 since, the two national titles and all the success that's come in his tenure. Just talk about those early years on spending several years with him before you moved on and, eventually became a head coach at Maryland. Talk about what it was like getting that Vanderbilt program to what it is today, getting it up and running.
Well, I was very lucky, extremely fortunate to be in the right place at the right time. And that goes back to Clemson when Coach Corbin was an assistant coach and Kevin O'Sullivan was the other assistant coach and Jack Leggett was the head coach. And I was this, 24-year-old rookie that didn't know anything, other than what I experienced as a player for Coach LeClair. And then to see the other side of it, because Jack Leggett, obviously, and Coach LeClair have such a deep connection and relationship with Coach LeClair, having played for and coached with Coach Leggett. And then to see that program come to life from a coaching standpoint, to see all the things we learned as players from a coaching standpoint, it just put all the pieces together for me. It's like, that's why we did that. And that's why we did that. And then Coach Corbin very much had that type of blueprint that he also learned from Jack Leggett and his connection. He was very close friends with Coach LeClair. And then to get to go build Vanderbilt with a similar blueprint in Coach Corbin's vision and his style, and to get to help him do that and help him, obviously with the recruiting and lead that charge for 7 years. That is very gratifying to be a part of that building process. Anytime you can build something that, and you're doing things for the first time ever that have never been done before, And Coach Corbin has continued to grow and evolve. I mean, in my opinion, he's the, you know, he's the, like I mentioned, the Nick Saban of college football. He's just, he's at a point in his career where he is the growth and the continual learning and the way he has built the Vanderbilt program now, you know, very much something that, you know, Coach Godwin, myself, Coach Ward, Coach Schnabel, all of us, you know, guys aspire to lead, to have programs that type of consistently and perennially at the top of college baseball. Yeah, he's still a mentor of mine, and it was a privilege to be a part of that. I guess we'll see what happens tomorrow.
No question. And Coach, as far as one of your best friends being Cliff Godwin, he's done a really good job, obviously, with how about 3 super regionals and 5 attempts. I'm not going to say 6 years because last year doesn't count, but 3 super regionals. I mean, I think that's half of the program. The program has 6 now. He has half of them. I know that's got to make you feel proud being somebody that's so close to you.
Well, it's unbelievable what Cliff has done with the East Carolina program, just bringing the program. It was always good, but he's made it great. And he is, there's an undeniable rising star. It's what I'm saying with, you know, guys like Coach Corbin, who are 16 years older. You know, people are going to be talking about Cliff Godwin 16 years from now, the way they're talking about Coach Corbin right now. I mean, he is a rising star, shooting star in this profession. And there's no question that, you know, he's going to knock that door down, and it may be tomorrow and the next day, who knows, but it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And the reason that's going to happen and the way it's like that is because of the blood that's running through Cliff Godwin's veins. There's not a fiercer competitor on the planet that I have met, and somebody that I'm proud to say is one of my best friends. And I would want that guy in the same foxhole if we were ever in the trenches and going to battle. He is a special human being, a special person, an unbelievable competitor, but has been a tremendous friend for the last 20 plus years. So very proud of him and leading the charge and wearing that number 23. And his friendship has meant the world to me.
No doubt about it. Before we let you go, Coach, what about your program? What do you have coming up? I assume you have some summer camps for the kids and other things. If you want to plug what you got coming up this summer.
Oh, it's recruiting. We want to be talking about, you know, still playing this time next year, not recruiting, but that's what we're doing now. We're out recruiting. We've met with a few prospects on campus today, and I'm heading to the airport now to go to the junior national showcase in Georgia. But I really wish I was doing what Coach Godwin was doing.
Well, we no doubt. Good luck to you next season. I know there's never a day off for you guys and your business. Thank you so much for spending some time, and good luck, like I said, next season. Love to have you back on again soon.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you very much.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. I'm very, very glad to have Coach Backage there. Obviously, I appreciate the job he does with Michigan and what a job he's done, and look forward to good things again for him. Right now, Bubba, though, in the present time, we're very proud of the Pirates, and a little bit short today, but it was not like 2 years ago when the Pirates really didn't have a lot left in the tank, so to speak. We've heard that many times with Louisville. I was really proud to see the Pirates the way they played and competed today. It was nothing to be ashamed of, as you and I and Kyle were talking about in our group chat during the game.
Yeah, like I was telling you like I was mentioning to our viewers and listeners in our preview the other night, no matter what happened, win or lose, I knew this team was going to leave it all out there. Not that the 2019 team didn't, because they certainly did. But I just felt like this game was going to be very much like those South Carolina games back in the 2004 Super Regional, where I didn't think there were going to be as many runs necessarily. I think those games were 4-2 and 5-3. I really felt like, what we saw today is what we were going to see, that where you're going to have the two teams combined for 5 runs or less. And that was obviously the case. And I felt like we're probably going to have to win a a 2-1 or 3-2 game, and I just couldn't get enough done offensively. But you know, here shortly, we're going to have Evan Voliva is supposed to be joining us, and we'll bring him into the mix here in the next few minutes.
What a great pitcher, and we thank a lot of Evan living now in Greenville, of course, and has a new baby. Appreciate his coming on today. A lot of fun. He's definitely got great insight on what this Pirate program has done over the years, and obviously we're proud of him for putting on the purple and gold for sure. But tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun. Bubba, another new start. I know that, you know, there's Jack Leiter, but how about Carson Wisenhunt? I mean, he's a COVID freshman and a guy that obviously we saw, met his family multiple times last weekend at the Super Regional. They're awesome and certainly his biggest fans. But, you know, hopefully Vandy fans will appreciate him tomorrow because the lefty is one of the best we've seen in a while. No doubt about it. I know that's going to be a big matchup. Are you there, Bubba? I think there's a little bit of lag there, but it's going to be a huge matchup tomorrow as the Pirates are going to do really well, I think, tomorrow. I think it's going to be a good game. And obviously, win or lose, no matter what happens tomorrow, we're really proud of the team. But I think they have a really good chance tomorrow. I really do. But it's got to be ECU baseball, mistake-free baseball, obviously. Anytime you play against a quality opponent, a Corbin team, you can't make any mistakes. If you make any mistakes, they're going to make you pay. They did today. But certainly, I think tomorrow, we got to see those bats alive tomorrow, right, Bubba?
Yeah, I think Corey Glore mentioned this as well as others. I mean, you don't have to match them pitch for pitch, and just match them out for out, and you know, keep yourself in the ball game and give yourself a chance like we did today. We obviously had that chance all the way down to the ninth inning, just couldn't quite get those clutch hits, but battled our butts off. And you know, tomorrow, you know, I haven't seen Jack Leiter a ton this year. One of the times I did see him was against LSU. He walked the bases loaded, I think it was, and then he walked the bases loaded and struck out the side. So maybe his command will be such tomorrow. And you know, if you walk the bases loaded against the Pirates, then you know, odds are we're gonna make him pay for it. And I think the bats will find a way to scratch out some runs tomorrow, and hopefully we'll play excellent defense once again. Air-free baseball today, just like Vanderbilt. And you know, one of the things that really stood out, and we talked about the game that C.J. Rodriguez had. One of the hits that he did have, he had already doubled for the game's first run, and then Rodriguez smoked another one in the left field, and AMAC did a tremendous job of getting the ball in and holding him to a single.
No doubt. And that's the thing is that when you have a guy like Rocker, it only takes a run or two, right? Another thing I want to mention too is I'm really proud of the fact that not only did Gavin do well, AJ Wilson didn't pitch very much. And then you have Colmore come in. So you've got, like Coach Backage was saying earlier, I mean, you're going to have how many – I don't even know how many pitchers are on the staff, but Coach has got – I think Wisenhunt will pitch deep, like Gavin will. And so you're looking – they could – Bubba, they could literally do those last handful of outs. They could literally do almost every single pitch or every single out. You could have a different batter, different pitcher, right?
Now we're in great shape, and we're where you would hope you would be. You know, pitching wise, after game one, you would hope that Gavin would give you a seven or more, and he did just that. I guess it was seven and a third.
Yep.
And then, like you mentioned, AJ Wilson came in, and then you know, Cam Colmore did what Cam Colmore does, and just found a way to get outs, and had his stuff working, and you know, he had a very low pitch count and is in great shape to come back tomorrow, because I'm sure we'll need him to be able to get that must win, and then force another must win situation, you know, on Monday. Excuse me, Sunday.
No question, man. I'll tell you what.
For some reason, all day it seemed like a Saturday to me. It hasn't seemed like a Friday.
It's great to be in our position that we are. And I'll tell you what, I'm excited. I'm really excited. I love this matchup. I think that, as I told you before, the great thing I love about Coach Godwin, anytime, anywhere, any place, if it's a grocery store parking lot, if it's the one of the best fields in the nation with Hawkins Field, it doesn't matter. He's going to play you, and they're going to compete at a huge level. And, you know, yeah, they fell a little bit short today, 2-0, but it wasn't like – what was it, 20-some runs to 2, like in Louisville? I mean, it was today was respectable. You want to get a win, but tomorrow we have a lot of pitching. We still have those bats. They've just got to find a way to come alive. And also, who knows, maybe they'll draw some more walks. Maybe they'll get hit by a pitch, God forbid. But anyway, we can get on base, right, Bubba?
Yeah, absolutely. You saw that as the game went on today there on the first time through the lineup. Our guys were, you know, getting used to everything they were seeing with Kumar Rocker. Pirates went 9 up, 9 down. And then, you know, as they started to see him a second and third time, and you saw guys having better at bats. Connor Norby found his way on. And then, you know, there in the middle innings, especially in the fifth and sixth, we talked about the situation in the fourth where Norby got caught stealing when he didn't get a good jump. And, yeah, yes, he slid past the bag, which Robbie brought up, but he was out either way. It really wasn't that close of a play. But in the fifth and sixth innings, we left a couple guys in scoring position, one in each of those frames. I think first and second with two outs in each of those innings. And I just unfortunately couldn't get the timely hit.
No doubt. I mean, we're definitely going to face one of the best pitchers in the country. But like I said, we have Wisenhunt, we have the players, and you know, if we get the hits, we do. If we don't, we don't. But there's no question they're going to be well prepared, and we'll just have to see how it all plays out. We're waiting on Evan Volleyball, the former pitcher of the Pirates, to come on any minute now, if you're just joining us. So Pirates, as you probably know, if you're watching this show, go down 2-0 against Vanderbilt and the defending national champion, Vanderbilt 2019 champions. And I know they're going to be after tomorrow to try to finish the Pirates off, because if you don't and you play Sunday, Bubba, that makes it more pressure probably on Vandy, don't you think?
Yeah, like Coach Godwin said, he said in the post game, not the press conference, but something I saw on social media with Brian Bailey of WNCT. You know, Bailey had some post game remarks with Coach Godwin, and he was just saying, "Hey, look, you know, coming into this, I said that nobody gave us a snowball's chance in hell of winning, and that's obviously still the case. I mean, you came into this needing two wins. We're still in that situation. You knew going in that you're going to have to win against either Rocker or Leiter, whichever one. And then, obviously you hope to win both of those games, but the odds of winning against Rocker and Leiter were very slim. So now we just got to go beat Leiter and find a way to get it to Sunday. And then who knows, all bets are off if you get to that third game, especially if, you really get a solid start out of Wisenhunt tomorrow, and you have all hands on deck pitching wise, whether it's Colemore, Bridges, Mayhew, et cetera.
And that's the thing. It just I was thinking about that watching in the late innings. I said, my gosh, we have with all those guys. I started rattling off a lot of names, just like you mentioned Mayhew. Then you got freshmen like Ginn. A lot of those guys that maybe they don't know anything about them, or I'm sure they do, but. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm so excited about this matchup tomorrow, Bubba. I know that Pirate fans wanted to win today, but you hold your head up. 2019 was so that was one of the things I was thinking about this game is it was so depressing in 2019 to see a great Pirate team, and you knew that they were struggling because of having to win the way they had to win to get out of the regional, and then they get the first game on Friday. Had what, like a few days rest, but they definitely played like a team that was definitely not just happy to be there. They were competing at the highest level. So again, nothing to be ashamed of. We'll definitely move on. And I know that I guess that Evan couldn't make it today, but Bubba, looking forward to tomorrow. And I know there's going to be for our good friends with Corey Glore and Malcolm Gray will be on the call again tomorrow radio. Their airtime will be 11:45 Eastern. And then obviously the game will be on ESPN2 tomorrow at noon again. Very excited to be in this position. There's a lot of people who'd love to be in the position we are with the Pirates. And good luck to the Pirates tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm certainly expecting the team to come out the same way they did today. You know, play for 27 outs, and I really like our chances. I felt like today that down to that 27th out that we're going to find a way to get it done, particularly there in the middle innings. You know, when we, even though we missed an opportunity or two offensively, we got at least two, maybe three clutch double plays. And, you know, when that ball deflected off Gavin's glove and led to the 1-4-3 double play with Connor Norby, when we got out of a couple of those situations where Vandy had first and third with either, I think it was one out, and then a runner on second with no outs, yeah. And we got out of that without them scratching, yeah. I thought, hey, we're going to find a way to win. I was hoping that was going to be the break that went in our favor, kind of like out in Lubbock back yep. in 2016 when the ball hit the mound and ricocheted to second base and kept us from going to Omaha that time. I thought, hey, maybe we're going to find a way to get it done today, and I truly believe that down to the final out. But what's done is done. We just got to come out tomorrow and take care of business, and hopefully we'll find a way to scratch across a few runs early and, you know, give Carson a little bit of a cushion. And, you know, it's going to be one of those games where everything's magnified. I really believe it. I would be very surprised if it's lopsided either way tomorrow.
No doubt. It's going to be another heavyweight fight. And Bubba, thank you so much for your hard work for the show. As always, my friend, the National Super Regional, our coverage, and we'll have coverage. I take it again tomorrow. Right, Bubba?
Yeah, stay tuned, and we'll have – hopefully Evan will be able to join us tomorrow. Today, part of that's my fault. He messaged me as soon as the game was over and had some other stuff going on. I had to help okay. Stacey jump off her car. But I didn't get back to him as quickly as I wanted to and meant to. But hopefully he'll join us tomorrow. And then we'll also have a surprise for you. We'll have – probably tomorrow, but sometime in the near future, we're going to be catching up with Preacher Franklin. He's one of the whistlers there at Vanderbilt. I had a 25-minute conversation with him. He's a heck of a nice guy. I know some people find the whistling annoying, and that's to you know, to each your own there, but he's a very nice guy, and I look forward to having a conversation with him. He had some tremendous stories about, you know, his time following Vandy to Omaha and other places on the road.
Awesome. I look forward to that. And I can't whistle, so I'll leave it to him. Bubba, thank you so much. Thanks to our great guest. Until next time, you've been watching Extra Innings Special Edition, our super regional coverage right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. Go Pirates.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us next Sunday night as we will once again talk East Carolina Pirate Baseball. Be sure to follow the show on social media at the Sports OBJ on Twitter, at the Sports Objective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to the show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. As always, we appreciate you tuning into the show. Go Pirates!